Hey, what's up, guys? This is Ace. Welcome to my podcast. I have yet to name this podcast, but we'll just call this Podcast with Ace, Episode 1. So this podcast is going to be all about entrepreneurship. I call myself a trep star. Why? Because I trep all day. And I trep for my last name, as they say in the hip-hop community, right? So I'm all about entrepreneurship, specifically internet entrepreneurship. And this podcast is going to be all about entrepreneurship and ways that we can build businesses. There's going to be a deeper discussion that we're going to engage in as this podcast goes along. There's a little bit more of a specific focus that I want to take. But I'm just going to start this podcast out just to introduce myself, give a little bit of my backstory, tell you guys what I'm all about, why I'm about it, who I'm doing this podcast for, the purpose that this podcast is going to serve, and looking forward to growing and creating something really great with you guys as we go along. So again, as I mentioned, my name is Ace. Call me Trep Star Ace, living a trep life, whatever you may want to call it. It's a little bit about myself. It all starts in Brooklyn, New York. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. As a young man, I had been a part of the Pan-African community, where those of us in the African diaspora try to reconnect with our African roots and our ancestral roots. So I spent a lot of time around men such as Minister Farrakhan. I spent a lot of time around men such as Dr. Khalid Muhammad. Sat at the feet of men such as Ivan Van Sertima, Dr. Clark, Dr. Ben Yochanan. These are some of my mentors and teachers at an early age. And clearly, though, I remember one of my early introductions to entrepreneurship was around the age of 12. I was a part of a boys organization that was designed to bring young men into adulthood through a rites of passage program. And as a part of that program, we were all given mentors. One of my mentors, to this day, I call him my father, my uncle, my baba, the Kiswahili word for father. He was very instrumental early on in my life with helping to mold my views and my vision about entrepreneurship, about the community, about revolution, about the Black Renaissance. And he presented me with three books when I first started under his tutelage. The first book was Black Wall Street, the story about the Tulsa, Oklahoma Black Wall Street and the massacre that occurred there. Also gave me Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is the story about the principles of wealth, written by a gentleman by the name of Robert Kiyosaki. And then lastly, he gave me a book about computer repair and troubleshooting. You may ask yourself, well, what? Well, why did he do that? Well, because the man was a visionary. He knew that technology was the wave. This is the mid-1990s. This is a time where a lot of us not even were familiar with what the internet was, even though folks had been on the internet for longer than for a lot more years prior to that. And he knew that in order for us to have any chance of keeping up with the world as fast as it moves, that we had to be involved in technology. When I say we, I mean his children and his mentees, the young men that grew up under him. I was not the only mentee of his. This man has dedicated his life to the development of young men. He has 8 sons of his own. So he knows what it is to raise young men in the inner city, which is a challenge for any of us. But he decided to take on those of us who are not his blood children and to bring us under his wing the same way he would his own. And those were the three books that he introduced me to at the age of 12. And as a part of my learning and my rites of passage with this man, I would have to spend twice a week with him after school, either working on computers or discussing wealth principles or discussing some of the issues and the ills that we are facing in our communities, in the inner city. And that was my early stages, my early points of learning was at that time. And as the years went on, I would go down, I would, you know, go to his house twice a week. I would go down to his basement and I would put the computers together. I would find spare parts and I would read the books that he gave me, and I would go ahead and work out ways to put these computers together. And I did so successfully, to the point where I was able to build my first computer for my house. Growing up in a single family household, was my mother and my brother, just the two of us. It doesn't mean my father wasn't in my life, because my father was definitely in my life. We just didn't live in the same house together. And actually, I didn't meet my mentor. If it wasn't for my father, I would not have met him, because my mentor and my father were founding members of that young men's group that I mentioned to you guys earlier. So big up to my pops. He passed away a little earlier this year, back in April. Back in early May. Actually, today when I'm recording this, Memorial Day of 2019, he passed away a little early this month. So big up to my pop for having the foresight to understand that it wasn't just on him to raise young men in society, that he can bring the village along to help raise his son into the man that I am today. So I appreciate you, Pop, for that. My mother also passed along. I appreciate you too, Ma, for understanding that your son needed men in his life to teach him how to be a man, and that you did everything that you could to put us in position to be the men that we are today. And when I was 12 years old, I was introduced to my mentor, who instilled principles of wealth, principles of entrepreneurship, principles of community building, and also introducing me into technology. I took those skill sets into my high school years. One summer I worked for my high school where I was just doing desktop support. I was the desktop support for my high school. If there was any problems with any of the computers that we had, I was the one to fix them. My high school was Paul Robeson High School in Brooklyn, New York. It was a high school based, focused on business and technology, which was perfect for me. It was a decision why I made the decision to attend that high school, is because those were my two areas of focus, business and technology. And I was fortunate enough to be at a high school where the faculty knew that there was special students in that school, that there was a special group of students who would take on any challenge that was presented to them and make the most of it. And what those faculty members were able to do is to create programs for us as young men and women to be introduced into the world of technology and the high world of business, Wall Street, in all these different areas that I ended up getting internships in. So funny enough, at the age of 15, I started my first company. And that company was a computer repair company where I would go around the streets of Brooklyn, me and my book bag full of colored papers with print on it saying, "Hey, I repair computers. You need a computer repair, or if you need a computer, give me a call." And I had my information on there, my own beeper. A beeper that I was able to purchase from fixing someone's computer. Thanks to shout out to a teacher of mine, Mr. Sabio. Mr. Sabio was a gentleman who taught graphic design in our school, but on the side, he was a computer repair man himself. And he would take me on jobs with him all throughout the city. I would go from Brooklyn to the Bronx to go repair computers, and I would get paid to do so. So I was able to purchase a cell phone, and I was able to purchase a beeper thanks to that young man. So a big shout out to Mr. Sabio. Thanks for setting me on my course. So with that cell phone and that beeper, I was able to secure a business as a young business owner in the city. And as some of the programs that I was involved in through high school, there was a program called Mouse. This program allowed for me to be an intern at a company called Click Radio. What's so interesting about Click Radio is founded by a black man himself, but his name is Hank Williams. Hank Williams, not too long ago, he passed away, but he was a pioneer in the internet space and the software as a service space, the SaaS, as they call it, SaaS in the technology world. He created the predecessor to what a lot of us know today is Spotify and Pandora and Apple Music. He had a desktop streaming music program, and I was an intern there at the tender age of 16. I was working in quality assurance. I was learning how to program. And thanks to him and to the school faculty for putting that program together, me as a young man was able to flourish in the world of technology. And it was also another program that I was involved in my later years, a partnership between my high school and Wall Street companies such as Solomon Smith Barney, and to name a few. With Solomon Smith Barney, I was also a desktop support guy. I worked desktop support on a trading floor. Could you imagine on a trading floor, a young man, I'm not even out of high school yet. I'm still in high school. I'm spending half my day taking classes and the other half I'm going to Wall Street, under the high pressure of Wall Street day trading. Gentlemen, all these guys on and ladies on the trading floor yelling and screaming on the phone. Just think of Boiler Room. Think of Wall Street. Think of Gecko and all those guys, right? And how crazy it was on those, some of those scenes that you would see, the Wolf of Wall Street and all those things. I lived that life for a short period of time in my early years. But it molded me to know that business is fun. Business is definitely a place where you can prove yourself, where you can prove people wrong about yourself. Even though I was a young man from the inner city, many of had counted out. Not too long before I had started that internship, I actually lost my brother. My brother was killed in street violence, living a street life. And he was only 17 years old. I was 15. And at that time, I said to myself, man, life is short, yo. And I got to make an impact in this world before it's my time. Because a lot of us didn't even think that we would go past the age of 21, much less become an adult and have families and get married and run businesses and be successful in this world. We didn't have a lot of examples of that. We did, but we weren't exposed to them. We weren't exposed to gentlemen such as Reggie Lewis, Robert Smith. We had guys like Jay-Z and Biggie Smalls and P. Diddy, right? And I learned from Hank Williams and saw what he did in the technology world. And that's where I grew up at. That's how I grew up. That's the world I grew up in. So I come from both sides. I come from the side where I know how real it could get out them streets, but I also come from the side where I know how beautiful it is to run businesses and be successful in this high finance world, high technology world. Those are some of the things that I bring to the table. And as I was going along in my journey, I'm 17, interning on Wall Street, 18, going off to college, 19, losing my mother. Huge blow to me as a young man trying to figure this thing out. I just lost my brother. And that hit me so hard, where I was feared that would happen to me soon. I'll be gone soon too. And then 2 short years after that, I lose my mother. 3 short years after that, I lose my mother. My core. I grew up with my mother and my brother in the house. That was my core, and I lost them. And I was lost for a little while. And where else can I go to gain solace? I had to be in business. I had to be knee deep, neck deep, eyeball deep in a world that allowed for me to take my mind off of some of the ills of my community and some of the pain that I was facing as a young man growing up. And I said, man, I'm gonna make my way in this business world. This is where I'm gonna flourish. This is where I'm gonna be the man that I was meant to be. This is where my legacy is gonna lie. So I attended college, not for the sake of going to college to get a job, but for the sake of going to college to learn what I need to learn to start my own technology consulting business. One of the things that you learn reading our Rich Dad Poor Dad is that the rich don't work for money, right? They work to learn. They'll go get a job to learn how that business is ran so that they could go run that business themselves and put the people in the place that they need to have in place to make it successful. So I said, I'm going to go to college and do that. I'm going to go learn from these guys teaching technology. So I went and I studied computer engineering. A heavy load of work, man. So heavy. My eyeballs was red at the end of every day. Calculus classes, programming classes, C++, Visual Basic, Python, you name it, we did it, right? Crazy. I said, man, this ain't for me. I ain't trying to learn how to do all this. I just need to learn how to tell people how to do all this so that they can go ahead and make me some money, right? And at the time, a young man, I had just met my now wife. She was my girlfriend at the time. She just finished graduating out of college. She decided to move in with me. I'm in my last year of college. I'm on my way out, about to get that degree. I grinded through college, hustled my way through college, paid my way through college, just to find out that, man, as she moved in, what happens with young people when they move in together, huh? At some point, somebody gonna get pregnant. It ain't gonna be me though, right? So she got pregnant, man. I was faced now with having to grow a family. Had to make a tough decision. Probably one of the toughest decisions I've had to make in a long time. At that early age, I decided to drop out of college. I decided to drop out. I had some businesses I was running, multi-level marketing company that I was running. I was a part of a multi-level marketing company. I sold legal insurance. Did pretty well with that. And I had to make a decision to leave college in my last year. I only had a few credits left because I had a family to take care of now. I was a man now. I couldn't play those college games. I couldn't go to those college dorm room parties no more. I couldn't do none of that stuff. I had a family to take care of. I had to step up to the plate. I had to make sure that I did what I needed to do to make sure that my family was secure and I could leave a good legacy, right? So I decided I was going to drop out and go all in the world of business. Yeah, that's my daughter in the back. That's right. I'm recording this right at home, right in my home office, and my daughter's just making noise in the back. But it's all good. I love her. That's my youngest of four. I'm a father of four now. But anyway, let's go back a little bit as I was talking about. So I'm a father of one. My brand new son, brand new wife. We got to make decisions now, huh? The decision of what are we going to do with this family? How are we going to pay the bills? How are we going to take care of the family? So I had to toughen up and go out there and do business. Yeah, we tried a lot of things. We did a couple of real estate things and, found a few ways to make some money. And we ended up making some money, growing some businesses. And then we make like, oh, man, now we can make a couple of moves. We got some money in our pocket. We could do a couple of things. My wife's father at the time was running a business down in Atlanta. Atlanta was like the black Mecca, right? Atlanta, this is the mid-2000s, 2005, 2006. We coming up. And we be saying, oh, man, Atlanta is where it's at. Young people moving to Atlanta buying these million-dollar houses. It looked like million-dollar houses for $150,000, $200,000, $250,000. I said, man, we could do that. It's the American dream. You could go out there in Atlanta. I'll be around. My father-in-law was a business owner. I could raise my son around other people that look like him, that are successful, that are doing good things, big things. Right. Entertainment was going on down there. It was a black Mecca, as they called it. Right. And it really was. It was a great place to be. So in 2007, we decided to move down there and buy a house down there in the metro Atlanta suburbs. And it was beautiful for a long time. We said, man, I want to have an impact on society. And I don't just want to do business for the sake of doing business and making myself rich. I want to do business, but also help people. I want to do business and make sure. Yeah, so I said, man, I gotta build a business that I could have an impact on society as well as make money and get rich. So we just started to start a lending company where we would make loans to first time home buyers and to small businesses so that they could buy equipment for their restaurants. You want a fridge, you want a stove, you want coolers so that you could run your food service business and your catering business. We got you. We'll give you a $5,000 loan, $10,000. We didn't do big loans, no more than $20,000. But we were on our way to really having an impact on our society. And then, boom, got hit. What we get hit with? The recession. Everything was on high. We were doing so great. Oh, Obama was in office. Oh, man, he about to do it up for us, right? Oh, man, we got money in the bank. Oh, man, we living in the black Mecca. I can go up the street and support black-owned business. I see black people living their best life. And then we all got slapped in the face with this subprime mortgage disaster from the financial institutions that we put so much trust in. Bomb, they slapped us. Boom. Here, take that. Everybody losing their house. Foreclosures running rampant everywhere. Customers can't pay back their loans. The banks are calling us trying to find out what's happening. We defaulted on everything. It's the worst time of my life next to losing my parent, next to losing my older brother. Oh, man, I don't know how we made it out of that. It was so rough in 2008. We managed to make it through 2009. We grinded. 2010, the second wave came. Boom, hit us like a tsunami. Knocked us off our feet. We ourselves, not only facing the loss of our business, but now we're facing the same fate as many of our own clients. We're facing foreclosure. We're facing losing everything that we worked so hard to build. Everything that we strive for. And at this time, I have two children. Because when things are good, you have babies, right? So I had my son. Then I had my daughter. She was only a year old. when that sheriff came knocking on the door. My heart is in my stomach. How do I explain this to my wife? How do I look her in the face when she's being told to leave out of the house that she was building for our family? How do I look my son in the eye and tell him that he's not going to be able to sleep in his bedroom no more? Losing everything. People walking in my house, taking out my furniture, putting it on the front lawn. Neighbors coming outside to see what's happening. Embarrassment. Failure. Pain. You name it, I went through it. The worst time of my life, I lost everything. From my socks, to my electronics, to my favorite punching bag, to my car. Everything. Went from so high, being so high on life and having so much success to now being in the dump. How do I pull myself out of this? Once an entrepreneur, always an entrepreneur, as they say. I call myself Trap Star because I lived a trap life. That's the life I chose. The life of ups and downs. The life of failures. The life of successes. The life of wins. The life of losses. And I decided that's all I know. But for now, I got to humble myself. And I got to call on somebody and see if maybe they could help me out. Maybe I could find a place for my children to sleep and for my wife to sleep at night. Because damn, we homeless. It was rough. It was a rough time for us. We ended up moving back to Virginia. My grandmother stayed there in a 2-bedroom house. The 4 of us, my wife and my 2 kids, had to move in with her. And for the next 5 years, I struggled and I grinded to find a way that I could get ourselves out of that pit. And I worked every job I could. Not job, but business. Every business I could. The very first business that I had an opportunity to work in was a business that was founded by my uncle. This was a media duplication business. And at the time, he had to step away for personal reasons. He could no longer run the business. And of course, my grandmother, at the age that she was, she couldn't run a business herself either. And because I had a little bit of business experience, some successes that I could rest my laurels on, I decided I'll step in. I'll be the one to take this business where it needs to go. I stepped in, reorganized a little bit. And the business was all based on media duplication, which means that we duplicated CDs and DVDs for our customers. If you were a rapper, an R&B singer, if you were a videographer, if you were a business who had training manuals that were placed on CDs for your employees to go take back home and study from, we would have wanted to duplicate them for you. We duplicated those CDs, we packaged them up, we created the inserts, we designed everything, had everything printed, full stop shop. Everything you needed for your media duplication needs, we got you. But it was a local business, brick and mortar, very limited. Repeat customers, yeah. Trying hard to find new customers, it was difficult. So I said to myself, man, this thing called the internet, gotta be the answer. If I could reach people in my local area and have a pretty decent business out of that, then I know I can explode this business if I was to just build a website, if I was to just get online and promote my business online. So I decided, well, I'm going to take this business and I'm going to brand it as an internet company. I'm going to offer our services online. I'm going to promote through social media. I'm going to go out there and tell people on social media that we have this business available to them. No matter where in the country you are, we can serve your media duplication need. Created a website on my own. Had to figure that out, the struggle. I didn't know anything about some of the platforms that we have today that makes it pretty much a plug and play type of deal where you can just sign up and in 2 days you got your website. No, I had to learn some code and all that stuff. And I had some experience with code. And of course, I went to college for that stuff, right? So I had a little bit of experience. So I went ahead and built this website out. Probably took me a couple of months to build it out. But then when we put it out in the world, I said, man, this is really where it's at. I could get customers from all over the country. Matter of fact, I could get customers from all over the world to pay me for our services that I'm doing right here in Virginia Beach. Did that for a year. Grew that company from where it was. Pretty successful. My uncle stepped back in. When he stepped back in, we had some differences in ideas and we had some differences in the direction we want to take this business. He was focused on the old model that he had built. I was focused on the new model I was building. We couldn't agree, so I decided to step away for a little bit. It is what it is. In business, sometimes you're going to take some hits, you're going to take some lumps, and even in your successes, you have to face the failure of not being able to continue with that success. One of my first lessons in partnerships and doing business with others and having disagreements, a really, really good lesson to learn, which allowed me to say, all right, I know how to do it now. So then I went along to try to do some other businesses, still with a focus in the back of my mind that I want to do something. I want to do something that's not just going to put money in my pocket, but it's going to also have an influence and an impact on my society and my community, the people that look like me, the people that talk like me, the people that live where I live, talk my language, right? So I decided that I was going to join a multi-level marketing company that focused on financial literacy and financial instruments such as life insurance. So I became a life insurance broker and started building up my brokerage. And this business gave me some of the tools that I needed to understand financial literacy, understand how to put money into certain vehicles to allow for you to retire when you're ready to retire and step away from your job or step away from your business, that you'll have all the income you need to sustain that lifestyle that you want. And I said, man, if I could teach my people how to do this, I could create a million millionaires, man. A million millionaires became my new focus. How do I, as one person, directly or indirectly create a million millionaires? At the time, I thought it was going to be through financial literacy. It was going to be through life insurance. If I put $1 million policy on a million people, when those million people pass, their family are instant millionaires. That's a million millionaires just like that. Boom. That's how it was going to work. I was going to grind as hard as I needed to in order to recruit as many people as I needed to recruit in order to build this business. But then, boom, got hit. The company that I was with, the group that I was with, ended up falling apart. The upper management, the people that we depended on so much to create the environment that we needed to create to recruit people into this business, fell apart. What do I do from here? Where do I go? What am I supposed to do? Man, I tried so hard only to see that it all go away because of some other people and some of the decisions that they made. Oh, man, that's terrible. But I had a good friend of mine who had started getting into affiliate marketing. And for those of you who don't know affiliate marketing, it's internet marketing. It's marketing online where you can sell somebody else's product and get a commission on it. If you were good at marketing online, you could get that product sold and people would come and they would buy that product and you would get a cut of every sale that's made. And he started making money off it. And he told me about that. I said, man, how do I do that with this financial business that I got? How do I go out and I create? Yeah, that's my daughter yelling in the background. Yeah, I work from home, as I mentioned. So how do I create a business? How do I take that internet marketing skill set? How do I do something with that? How do I do my business in that realm with internet marketing? So I knew e-commerce was a way to present your product to the world, but internet marketing was a way to get those eyeballs onto your product. Internet marketing was a way to draw that focus onto your product. So I said, all right, I know how to do e-commerce as far as setting up a website. I need to learn how to market online. And this friend of mine took me under his wing, showed me everything he knew. And at the time, there was a wave of business that was going on in what they call a drop shipping world. This has to do where you find a supplier for the product and you could get that product from that supplier for a dollar. And you go out and you find a customer to pay you $3 for that product. You take the $3 from the customer, you go and you give your supplier the dollar, and the supplier sends that product to your customer on your behalf and you keep $2. That was the business model. I said, man, that is it. I mean, matter of fact, I'm going to put this financial literacy stuff aside and I'm going to try to do this. I'm an entrepreneur. That's what we do. We find out opportunities. We find problems. We find solutions to those problems. We go out there and we do it. We make it happen. And so that's what I decided to do. I decided I was going to become an e-commerce internet marketing guy. Started my first Shopify store in December of 2015. I'm homeless at the same time, you know. I was living with my grandmother in a 2-bedroom house. Don't belong to me, with my family. And at this time, I have my third child. three children, a wife, and myself without a home of our own. Man, we had to figure out a way to make that happen. So I grinded late night. In the daytime, I would go and I'll try to sell insurance. And at night, I'll come home and I'll build this website. I'll hop on Shopify, I'll load up some products, and I'll go and market those products on Facebook. I'll figure out how to put ads on Facebook. And before you know it, 6 months come, I got $40,000 in the bank. I got sales coming in. We're making money. I'm profitable. Now I can move out, get a place of my own. I chose sunny Florida, South Florida, baby. That's where I'm at now. I want to live in a place where cold wasn't a problem for me, where my children can experience the beach life, where I could eat mangoes to my heart's content, coconuts growing on trees. I could drink coconut water to my heart's content. I can go outside and plant whatever I want in the ground and it'll grow bountifully. That's the type of life I wanted to live. See, as an entrepreneur, that's one of the things that you have at your disposal, is figuring out what kind of life you want to live and putting yourself in position to reach that through business, through entrepreneurship. Find a problem, find a solution to that problem, sell that solution. There you go. You got it. So I said, man, this thing is really taking off. And in 2 short years, hit my $1.5 million in revenue. Things were looking great. Boom. Got hit. Drop shipping model kind of took a little bit of a dip. Still good, though. We're still in the game. We're still in the e-commerce game. We out here doing what we need to do. But I said to myself, man, I still got to make an impact. How is this making an impact? So that's where we are today. I want to show how those of us in the Black community can rebuild Black Wall Street in the digital age through e-commerce. See, one of the things that we fail to understand is that historically, we've allowed people to come into our community, set up businesses, take the money out of our communities, and not have to return it. However, on the flip side, we cannot go into any other person's community and set up business and take money out of their communities and bring it back to our own and not return a single dime back to theirs. We don't have the privilege of doing such a thing. But with e-commerce, you can set up shop anywhere you want. You can sell to whoever you want. They don't even have to know who you are. As long as your product is of quality, you give a decent price to that customer, and you're able to fulfill the need that that customer has or the want that that customer has at the time, you can be successful. So I don't care what it is that you're selling, whether it's a good or a service. Why are you not online? So that's the purpose of this podcast, y'all. Just wanted to give y'all a quick backstory of who I am, what my life, and why I'm here today. So let's talk about that. Why am I here? I'm here to help rebuild Black Wall Street in the digital age through e-commerce. Point blank, period. That's as simple as it gets for me. What is that going to mean as far as impact? A million millionaires. We want to create the million millionaire movement. It doesn't mean I have to directly influence a million people to become millionaires. It means that if I can spark the interest in one person to be a millionaire and change their family's life, and they go out and they do the same thing for another person, by the time you know it, this thing spread like wildfire. That's what it's all about. So let's go, man. This is what we're doing with this podcast. This is what this podcast is all about. So thanks for listening up to this point. I'm going to be dropping episodes every day. Questions will be answered. If anybody's listening to this and has a question, send me a question via email. Matter of fact, you could catch me on Instagram at Inkwell, INC_WELL. That's me. Send me your message. Let me know you heard the podcast. Let me know you heard the episode. You may have some questions. You may have some concerns. Share it with your folks. Let people know what it's all about. Whether you're in business or you're not, if you want to be in business, it's the podcast for you. If you're in business, it's the podcast for you. If you got a friend that's in business, it's the podcast for you and them. It's the podcast for your children. I'm not going to be cursing, foul language. You're not doing all of that. I got children of my own. As I said, now I'm a father of four. So let's rebuild Black Wall Street, y'all. Let's do this together. Let's do it with heart. Let's do this with fearlessness. Let's go out here and take over the world as we were meant to be. Rightfully and justfully so. So thanks again for tuning in. As I mentioned, you can catch me on Instagram, INC_WELL. Peace.